So I saw something on the old threads earlier today, and it was this person who said that, like, they must have just started playing D&D or something, and they said, I rolled my first natural 20. And I was like, damn, that's cool. That must feel good. Man, I don't know if I could remember my first natural 20, and then I did. I remembered my very first natural 20. Now, mind you, I started playing at the age of 10 with, like, my dad and his friends, right?
Wait, so that was, like, 50 years ago?
That was 50 years ago, that's right. 50 years to the day.
Jake's so old. Surprisingly so.
I did have a guy at church who thought I was 23, and I was like, hell yeah, brother.
take it when you can get it.
Add a zero on the end of that, and you got it right on.
So the first natural 20 was I, of course, as a 10-year-old boy, made an orc barbarian. Right?
Oh, yeah.
And I don't remember what the creature was. For some reason, in my mind, it was some kind of weasel. It was like a feral weasel that these orcs had like sent at me, and it latched onto me, and then the way to get it off was a strength check. And then my dad's friends were like, this is the part where you rage. And I was like, okay. And so I raged, and then I ripped off this weasel from my arm with a natural 20. And then I was like, can I throw it back at them? He was like, yeah.
Toss the weasel.
Toss the weasel
back at the guy. Weasel. So I think all it did really was just like took a turn, because they had to take their actions to like put the weasel down, which was clearly a rabbit or some shit. But
sir, put the weasel down.
put the weasel
He's
down.
He's got a weasel.
The number of times that I've been told that.
Tim, yeah, stop handling your weasel. There are children.
It's just so slippery.
But you know, yeah, that is my I didn't know if I could remember it, and then I remembered it perfectly, and yeah, that was my first natural 20, and I was like, man, 25 years ago, huh? 50 years ago, I mean.
Well, I can easily remember my first natural 1.
Ooh, okay.
Now, this will surprise very few people or listeners that have watched up until now. My first game was ran by Jake himself.
This guy.
Many, many years ago. It was me and my brother. I'm not sure if Tim was there at the time, but my brother was playing a halfling rogue. I was playing a dwarf barbarian.
Oh, wait. I think I do remember this.
Jake was very kind when we made our characters because he wanted us to be engaged. He gave my dwarf a enchanted fiery war axe. So every time you saw him, you did extra fire damage. We went into a warehouse chasing down some miscreants, and I, being the responsible frontliner, ran directly up to the second floor to confront these baddies. Rolled a natural 1 on my first attack, and Jake calmly had me roll damage. I'm pretty sure I rolled back fire damage. He's like, all right, you swing to the wall, and you catch the warehouse on fire. So we had to jump out of a second-story window in our first encounter because I set a building on fire. And it was awesome.
It's a story when you like go home and you know your wife or your family is like, what happened? You're like, I burned a building down.
It was accidental, but it was kind of cool.
It was fun.
Some people choose to become murder hobos. Other people roll into it.
roll right into that.
My fate was chosen for me that day.
You know, I want to say that was my first game, too. Like, it must have been. Like, that feels so long ago. I feel like that had to have been. We must have all started together.
Yeah, I was about to
I don't remember anything before that.
Yeah,
Didn't you have,
say.
Like, a lizard folk fighter before that? Because I remember you telling us about him.
Was that got, like, his brains
died.
Ripped out or something?
Yeah, by a mind flare.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so that was before that. All right.
How's it the before four times?
Oh, because we went to a... Jake, did we go to like a con or something? And you like got me dice? You're like, this is a dice for your character.
I think so, yeah.
My character died, and I don't think I ever rolled those dice again.
I think not, yeah. I think I remember you even getting like a mini for it. And then I think it was like
the next session.
He just died.
Obliterated.
That was one of the only times that it was like, all right, roll me in a post check. You rolled an extra one. I rolled a natural 20. And I was like, I don't see any other recourse here, Tim.
I remember that fight. I remember you getting your brains ripped out.
That's great.
So Jake has really been killing my character since the beginning.
That's been 15 years.
You've been getting your characters killed since the beginning.
Hey. I like to think that after he killed that first character, he was like, this would make good radio. Like,
God, that felt so good. People would love to hear this.
So Jake's first character.
I don't know.
Go ahead. You finish.
I will say, Kelly making the comment of I getting my characters killed. The one you're thinking of that one time I tried to pick up that ancient cursed artifact with the bag. That was warranted.
No, problem is that you said you're thinking of that one time, and I couldn't think which time you were going to bring up.
I mean, to be fair, the cursed artifact was still probably my favorite one. Because that's when
that
Jake
was so
called
fucking
me.
Funny.
Because I couldn't make that session, and Jake was like, "Yeah, so Tim died." I was like, "What?
Oh
yeah,
no.
Yeah." He tried to pick it up by putting a bag around his hand first.
Like, see, Mark, that's why they need you, brother.
I was
I will say we all thought that was a bad idea before he did it.
You needed one more voice to snap him out of it.
Back. That was a good moment. I loved that.
I mean, and I think at that point, because I'll say that was actually the first time I played Pathfinder. Like, in general, I never really played a tabletop before that game. But I just remember that point. I think even Jake said, he was like, yeah, Tim, you're like the only one that would die from handling this thing, and you're the one that went to pick it up.
Yeah, because of his alignment. I remember that.
Yeah, it was because it was alignment based.
Yeah, and he was the only good one, I think. So
amazing. Yeah. So you were Jake. You were orc barbarian. John, you were dwarf barbarian. My first character was a half orc barbarian, who I'm sure I've brought up on the show before. Old Grug. Mm-hmm. And I liked how that campaign ended, because basically, it ended where we defeated, I think, some boss. I think it was like a beholder or something, or maybe no. It was the mind flayer. It was the one that Tim got his brains ripped out on. And then like a giant like battle broke out, and like we were supposed to go somewhere else. And I was like, no. I want to go into the battle and I want to kill people, because Grug had like a greater cleave and monkey fist, so he could just like he could hit like everybody in his. In a 10-foot radius of him with like a single swing. And I was like, no, I want to go kill things. And you were like, oh, okay, well, I got to look up mass combat rules. And then we just never went back to that game.
We never did it. I forgot. let me do research.
That was the last time we played 3.5, and then we went to Pathfinder.
That's what it was. I went to go do research and then found a better system.
That's right. Old Grug.
There's a reason why Pathfinder 1E was so good, is because it was based on 3.5. So
yep.
I mean that was like when the first game that I was in. I remember making a witch because I was like, oh, that seems fun to do, and then just trying to learn everything as someone that's never played like D&D or Pathfinder before. I was just like, oh, okay. Well, I'll make this as easy as possible for myself. Thankfully, played this during a time when I could just look online and be like, oh, that's what I'm doing wrong. You know, stuff like that.
Yeah. And there were so many, because the games have been out for so long at that point too, there were so many like applications and stuff that like would just make things for you. I think it wasn't called Hero Forge. I'm trying to remember what it was called. But there was one that, like, it would just lead you through the process because it was all OSR. It was, like, super easy to, like, use. Do you remember what it was, Tim? It was something. It wasn't Hero Forge, because that's, like, the mini-making thing.
Right.
But, like, I remember trying to do it on pen and paper, and then you find out that, like, those exist, and you're like, I'm never touching a pencil again. Yeah. I'm just not doing it.
I think when I used for Pathfinder First Edition, it was just Path Builder, like the very first rendition of Path Builder.
Yeah, that guy, Red Razor, he's made all of them, but but there was another, like, downloadable,
Wayfinder?
What was it called?
Wayfinder?
No.
I think that was the more updated one that was like browser-based. But
man, what was it?
Think.
Man, I don't know. I don't know what it is anymore. But I mean, I think that they're still making stuff for like other systems too. So, maybe when we jump onto Lancer, we'll see what apps are out there.
A
Lancer character. Oh, there it is. CompCon. Yep. All right. I'll be doing this for the next hour. I'll see you guys later.
just do what you want.
We'll just be role playing anyways.
Yeah, that's fine. Well, so let's talk about Last Up, because that was scary. That was very, very scary.
Just a little bit.
And yeah. And I think that not reading the one ability correctly saved you guys. Because that Forge Breath that this creature had was so devastating. I mean, it blinded Garn first thing. And then it happened to get a bunch of you in its second breath weapon. And then after that, it just started hammering into each of you guys with the whip. It was just using its whip, just hitting back and forth, just slugging. But you guys dealt some pretty good crits. You had some pretty handy crits that really put it on its heels. So I will give you props for that. But you guys got some shiny new items off of its body.
We have like a thing to deal with.
Ugh. Oh yeah. What was it about its ability?
So
come back.
Yeah. So its soul chain. Let me see where it is.
Yeah, if we don't destroy it, it'll reincarnate from the soul chain.
Exactly. But
the soul chain is so cool.
But yeah, I mean, it has this thing that, yeah, as long as the chain remains intact, the creature can't be truly destroyed and rises again fully healed at the next sundown.
Yeah.
It says even if its physical body was destroyed. So even if you hit disintegrate on this guy, it would just rematerialize.
I said it reminds me of how Grave Knights were in first edition.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Very. I mean, it's undead, so this might be like a different kind of Grave Knight. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. So you have some slaves in this room that were trying to get out during this combat, but they had to keep like circling the forge because the combat kept moving. So
Forge Breath. Oh shit! Can't go this way.
Oh, I'll go the other way. Oh, Forge Breath there too. Okay. So is there anything you guys want to do in this room? Because I think, are you guys, how are you guys sitting? Like, what do you guys want to do next?
I know, like, we're all pretty beat up. I know Garn was, like, revived because he was, like, basically, he was, like, dying or something. And you guys, like, brought him back to life. I think Kezar was, like, also barely hanging on. And that's when he started looting the body. It's hilarious, like, almost dead.
I was like okay on HP, but okay. I was blind.
You was blinded, yeah.
Yeah.
I was blind, and then you had me walk towards you, and then that wasn't going to work, and then you died anyway.
Yeah.
So I was just standing there like, I hope it doesn't hit me now because I'm blind.
It's very funny to have somebody go, look, I know you can't see, just walk toward me, and then that dude died.
Yeah.
Gone? God.
I was about to say, who was the one that rolled the information check on this that we find the ability?
I have 22 in religions, and I have a master in religion, so it might have been me.
Might have been you, or might have, because I remember this is, I made it dwarf specific, so it was one of the two.
I'm fairly certain I rolled pretty high on that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Because it's one of those situations that if he reveals about this information, that's going to be a cause for concern almost immediately, because don't feel like fighting this thing again.
Right.
It's not fun.
But, okay, like, the mechanical question, though, is can we destroy the chain but also take the sweet runes off? That's the only thing I'm concerned about.
That's what we talked about last episode.
Yeah.
And it was inconclusive.
So what does it take to remove runes? It
takes a day.
It takes one day at 10% the cost. And a DC 27, which should be fine for me.
What if you crit it? Does it go faster?
No.
Yeah, because time is the issue here.
My crafting is also extremely high.
Yeah, it takes a day regardless, unfortunately.
Is there like some elixir you can drink to make it work faster?
Hey, just have you know, a shot of espresso in your coffee in the morning.
There you go.
Yeah. Move a little faster.
Simply put, I do not wish to fight this thing anymore. Is there any way you can remove this rune fast? Like, I'm saying, like, you got two crafters, maybe the time gets lowered, I don't know.
Well, here's the thing, too.
Plus, we have to get back.
Well, I was going to say, it says next sundown.
Next sundown.
Does anybody remember what time you all came down here?
It was dark, wasn't it?
Well.
Damn dark.
It's been dark.
You're right. We're underground. I don't know what time then. I just dark.
It's next sundown right now.
No, it was at night because you guys talked to Brigvin, interrogated him, went to go investigate the wall, found that, and then followed the rhythmic, like, sense you guys picked up and made your way here.
So we have more than 24 hours.
So, you would have...
24 hours.
Less than 24 hours.
Yeah, less than 24 hours, yeah. Mm.
If we do it on a boat, and then he resurrects, and we just push him in the water, and he dies from drowning and being a magma creature. And we just hold on to the chain.
And then what happens when he resurrects on the boat, we all fail to push him in, and then he just shoves us in the water.
I mean, or you just put it, like, in a Viking funeral sort of thing on the boat, and you're just...
he stands up and just goes, whoop, 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 whoop.
You make it like a small rowboat that a large creature can't fit in, and then he just goes, huh, I'm back. Oh, shit.
See, can you imagine just going up to the guys at the lake and being like, we need one of your boats, and just throw a chain into it and just push it off of shore?
Let me just hear me out. We take two boats out. We're all on one boat. I'm on one boat crafting. And then he appears whenever he's going to do it. And I just fly away and we sink his boat. And we just like have a chain tied to the whip so it doesn't get away.
I'd also like to point out we have no evidence this guy is at all killed by water.
Yeah.
Just cold.
Yeah, he had weakness to cold.
It was cold water.
Just swimming the lake like
he'd just come walking out of the lake, water boiling around him, like, that was a mild inconvenience.
It'd be so cool to see him just walking out of the lake with just water bubbling.
Yes.
All these boiled crabs coming off of him.
Oh, no.
Quick, get those. That's good food.
Those are steamed crabs.
You have any idea what those go for in the distant land of Maryland?
Is there a way to remove curse on this thing?
Okay.
Like, can we just, like, is... yeah, can we, like, yeah, can we remove curse?
Yeah. That's a new way.
I'm not good at religion, but...
Somebody here is.
So remove curse is a spell of fourth rank.
Divine.
Cast time 10 minutes. It is, so I'll say this, it is a curse because it is divine, and the I wonder if I could, you know what?
Well, it's a skill feat. Break curse. You spend 8 hours praying and performing occult rituals over the target, weakening your curse's power over them. It says target, so I guess it's a bit ambiguous.
I mean, target can be a rock. I mean,
yeah.
Target chain.
There you go.
Yeah, so there's also cleanse affliction, which is a two action thing, but that seems a little too easy.
Less affliction. I think it's more of a curse than anything else, so.
Yeah, well, remove curse is legacy content, though, so.
Oh. Because break curse is a skill feat. Frostin would know what to do, right? My good old cuz.
You could go to your
cousin. Spend 8 hours with my cousin. He could lead us through the rites. Because I do not have that skill feat, but surely he does. A man of the cloth.
Most certainly does.
Well, cleanse affliction replaces remove curse along with other things. So it says, okay, choose so an affliction on the target, such as a curse, disease, or poison. So they just sort of wrapped it all up into one spell, and then you just heighten it when as high as you need to use it on whatever it is. It would need to be... level. Yeah.
Man, what level is this item, too?
It would have to be fourth level or higher for it to affect a curse. And it's a 10th level. Plus 2 is 10th, so it's probably at least 10th level.
So the soul chain itself is item level 11.
So we need like a level 5th or 6th level remove cleanse affliction.
Well, he's probably got a few of those in his pocket, so.
That seems like the best bet, then.
It does.
Yeah.
Let's just bring this time bomb of a cursed item into the city.
So I think it would be at least a DC 28, unless it's like a rarer item or something. It could be bumped up.
DC 28 for a counteract check is not bad.
No,
not bad.
No, and I mean he's a high level caster, so
yeah, easy.
Okay. You have to go talk to him anyway because you freeze the lock.
I don't know. Uh-huh. Cleanse affliction says targets a willing creature.
It does say willing creature.
It does say willing creature, so he's probably have to use either something a different spell or break a curse.
The skill. And that break curse takes 8 hours. And it's a counteract check at the end as well.
Break curse.
Skill feat level 7.
Okay. So I mean I was gonna say, is this a break curse is a new thing. I really like the fact that Archive of Nethys, shout out to Archive of Nethys, they have a thing that says, like, legacy version here, to let you know that, like, you're in the new thing. And if you look at an old thing, it says, hey, look, there's a remaster version, so. Okay, so, regardless, you would have to go to him, because you would need, literally, Breaker says that you need a master in occultism or religion.
I would assume he is.
To do this. At least a master in religion. So yeah. Okay. So you guys want to go to Frastum?
Yep.
Yes.
So we gather up the poor souls, tend to their wounds, you know, like immediate wounds, just to get them patched up enough so we can, you know,
strong enough
on out of here.
Yeah. And also question them to see how many. If this is all of them, I mean.
So they do say that it's all of them now. They tell you that they have seen slaves come and go. We've seen some slaves coming and going, but when they go, we hardly see them come back the same. They sit there for a day just staring. But we've been working here, and he points, and you can see that it looks like some of the weapons that they're making are pretty standard weapons. If you guys want to look through any of it, you're more than welcome. I don't know if you guys have searched this room yet either, necessarily.
Oh, not really.
I will take time to search the room and the items while they are getting the slaves out.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, John, while Sandor is looking around in this room, he sees a bunch of weapons that are, some of them look pretty standard. They're not magical. These aren't like magical forgers, you know, forge masters and stuff like that. But it's clear that they're making chains, they're making manacles, they're making all sorts of stuff as well. Additionally, you find what appears to be, it's very appropriate you found this, because it is a shield.
Can I make a arcana check to see if it is magical?
Yes, you may.
Or, I mean, I can also just detect magic.
You do your little boop-a-doop-a-doop, and yes, it is definitely magical.
Now I will do an arcana check. That is 36.
That is enough to know that this is something called a reforging shield. This steel shield contains a smoldering core of magma that never cools. When the reforging shield's current hit points are below its break threshold, the shield recovers 5 hit points at the start of its wielder's turn each round until it is no longer broken.
Oh, that's awesome.
God, I wish Benson could get this, but it's going to be great in Garn's hands, too.
This is a full 15 shield.
What?
Good God.
Each time a character repairs the shield recovers double the number of hit points.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Yeah, this is insane on somebody who can is good with shields.
Garn.
Yeah.
It's Garn.
Wow.
Or Luca. Luca can probably hold a shield.
I mean... Tech.
I'm taking this shield.
Yeah, I mean, it's honestly better.
I have to get your hands off.
Benson would die for this. Hardness 15, 120 hit points.
Yeah. Holy this would be literally cracked on Benson with his feet.
Yeah.
What?
I definitely Garn needs this. What is Garn wielding now? Is it just a standard shield?
I am wielding a Dawn Silver Shield that has a hardness of 5. And a total HP of 20.
Wow.
Good lord.
So this is a hardness 15, 120 hit points, and oh yeah, it heals 5 hit points every round.
I think Garn needs this more than anything else.
Yeah. Also, there's
Yeah, he just went down hardcore.
There's that magical armor the guy had on that we can probably get magically resized. This whole excursion has just been nothing but a treasure chest for Garn.
It's literally.
Oh yeah.
I mean... It's awesome. It's fitting. It's fitting. Yeah, so I think I'm like patching people up and you find this shield. You telling Garn about it or nah?
Fuck no. Yeah.
He just throws it in the magma. Like,
you know how many scrolls I'll be able to buy with this?
He walks out with, hey, you just happen to see me? Is that a whole shield in your pocket?
Kendra, look what I found. You could put this on a coffee table, place a pot of coffee on it, and it'd never get cold.
My God. The possibilities.
Garn, I think this is something for you.
Oh, what is this? I don't think I've ever seen something like that.
This might be one of the most valuable things I've ever seen. And I will explain everything to you.
And he's like holding it in his hands. He's like, why is this here? This thing of incredible power.
Well,
if this is what they have lying around in the forge, what are we going against here? This is incredible. It really does beg the question, like, they just had this lying around? Like, was it buried under stuff? Like,
No. And I should have displayed it better, but it's there were some hooks on the wall, and it was sort of displayed. Like, it was on like a display, essentially.
Still though,
did you say there was a symbol on it or no?
No. Okay. There's like a boss.
Okay, I wasn't sure if it'd be like a symbol of like slavery or something.
No, luckily not. The steel shield contains a smoldering core of magma, so it's just a big old, like...
It's a kingly gift. It's worth more than the Five Kings Mountains and everything in it. Not even close. There's a lot of money in those.
they have a lot of these up there, actually.
They actually use them on coffee tables for coffee, yeah.
Yeah. I was just like, every dwarf has one. What are you talking about?
Like, this thing is literally worth 6,000 gold.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You buy a castle with that.
Yeah.
Probably a couple castles, actually.
we already have a castle.
What?
Yeah, we found one a long time ago.
What do you mean you found it? You just could claim it as your own?
I mean, yeah, you were there.
Oh, right. Right.
You know, your memory seems like it's not great. I totally take the shield away now. Okay.
I won't forget this. I promise. And he's holding the Dawn Silver Shield. I'll never forget this.
Crazy old coot. Kesra wanders over to the other end of this room. He sees kind of a tunnel that heads south out of this room.
Yep, so there is just a unrefined tunnel.
That's the thing that looks like it goes on, right?
It, yes. Yeah, you look down. You could walk for a few minutes and still not hit anything of note.
Well, unfortunately, we're on a timer here.
Yes, unfortunately.
You start to hear a flaming voice.
I leave. Oh.
My God! Quick to the populated city.
It's Darren's Bane.
They dug too greedy and too deep.
So it was the plus two chain. He also had a, was it a plus two breastplate? Plus two resilient.
Yes, plus two resilient full plate. In fact,
full plate.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. The picture itself just looks like a breastplate, but the stat block says full plate.
Oh yeah, I guess I could use that too, huh?
Yeah, you're literally getting three crazy items if we get this rune off.
Oh wait, I don't actually know if I can wear
full plate.
It's heavy armor.
You don't
right?
have heavy armor proficiency,
no,
I would
medium.
Guess.
If you're untrained in it, you can't wear it, right?
So it's worthless. Throw it in the lava.
Could I take a skill feat to become trained in armor?
Yes, it's a general feat.
Yeah. You want to take 2 weeks to retrain into this full plate?
I mean, maybe for like next level.
Okay.
You know?
Oh yeah. Okay. All right.
It's not a bad idea.
I mean, I'd become a super tank.
Yes.
Yes. I mean, which you need because you go in the front lines immediately.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Like I have this boss shield, some incredible armor.
Yeah. If you think about it, the only other person in your front line is Luca, and he is dependent on Ambrose's health pool. So
yeah, which I can heal myself, which heals him.
Oh, of course.
But but again, like your AC needs to be a lot higher.
But
you said there was just random stuff around too, like just manacles and chains and shit.
Yep. Yeah. It looks like they were making their own manacles and chains to be oppressed with. Yeah.
Yeah. He's just going to use Mage Hand, just scoop and throw them into the forge, just melt them down.
They sizzle back into nothingness.
No need for that.
From slag you were to slag you will return.
How far away is? Because No, I can't actually. I was about to say I could just teleport us to wherever this guy is, but no, I can't do that.
Yeah.
No, I mean you were so underneath of where you guys are is still just like underneath the city, like
it's not that far away.
No, yeah, you're still in Kovlar technically. You're just 80 feet below the surface.
Mm-hmm.
In like a weird abandoned part of town, but yeah.
By the wall, right?
Yeah, you were not far from the wall at all.
Yeah, so we could definitely make that in a couple hours, probably.
Minutes. Yeah, minutes.
Yeah. Okay, so even better. Like, I mean, it's just the problem is that we have to make sure that these people are
taken care of.
Well, not.
That's why we're taking them to Fraston, you know?
Yeah, and also not going to get mauled by these two statues in the entrance.
Oh, yeah,
too.
We're taking everyone out.
Oh, yeah. We're just gonna make them reinforce. If Ambrose has to use diplomacy to really force it into their heads, please just keep repeating these words.
No, like you said, we're gonna take them out.
push them into the room. Don't say anything. See how?
Yeah. I don't know if Kezra's still ever just gazing down. Maybe he's starting to walk down. I'm like, Kezra, need to go back up.
All right. Right, yeah, I wanna get that those runes off that chain.
Yes, they would be invaluable to our efforts. But dangerous.
You're really making out really good down here, aren't you, Garn?
Well, I'm welcome to share our treasures as always.
Sure you are.
He's a greedy one, honestly.
I'm just gonna...
If anyone could use this incredible shield with this beautiful breastplate, please speak up.
We're just gonna consider you paid for this mission.
Well, I think that is quite fair.
Alright, set up.
Yep.
Alright. So, you guys head up. The statues allow you to pass because you say the right words. And there are... God, how many people? There was 9 in the one room, 10 in... Or a 1 in, that you found in the beds, mm-hmm. and then 6 here.
That's so, like a caravan.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, like, these people are obviously emaciated and horribly bruised and tortured. Mm-hmm. Many appear to be dwarves, but some of them are, you know, human, halfling, whatever, whatever. And some of them have, like, no idea how they got here. They've been transferred back and forth. They've been, you know, the bag was on their head whenever they got moved, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, like, how they ended up here, they don't even know that they're, like, underground necessarily. Mm-hmm. The only reason why they would actually know that is because they saw Hringar. And it's like, well, that's, there's one place that happens. But you immediately take them to Frasten in order to get them help. When you open the doors, I imagine like Aragorn when he opens up the double doors and he walks through all sexily. The people come pouring in, and the priests and priestesses of Torag come and start helping you. They start, you know, giving people water, you know, checking their wounds and helping them out.
Yeah, like, quick, where is my cousin? We must speak with him. The matter is urgent. As you can tell, we have much to discuss.
He had to go across town, but he should be back soon.
And about 10 seconds later, you hear,
cousin!
As he's standing there, and he looks like, proud of you for, like, doing, you know, bringing these people here, but also obviously, like, helping these people out. He's just like,
you did good work.
And he goes up and he's like crying almost, like, aww, seeing all these people that are, you know, and he's and he just grabs you by the beard and he's like, you old sod.
Gently.
You did good.
Gently.
I'm very badly burned.
He's like, oh, your whole body's burned.
Yes, it took off all my hair in that last fight. Let me tell you about the battle we just had with the Forge Spurned.
I hate to interject here, no time.
Oh, right, yes. No time for stories right now. We actually, you know of the Forge Spurned, you know the tales that aunt and uncle would tell you. Yes, well, we have the chain with us. We must go somewhere private now.
I see. Very well. And he takes you into his office again.
Yeah.
The place you've been 100 times, I think, now.
Yeah. And it's like holding this chain, there's like the physical weight to it, but there's also like the divine evil magic associated with it. You know how like whenever like the One Ring was like in a scene and it was like revealed, yeah, like everything got muted, like it just everything felt really heavy. Like that is kind of like, mm-hmm, what I feel happens when we take this out of the bag of holding. It's just like, whoa, this is the most evil thing
filled with the anger seen of an evil god.
Yeah. just dear god. Okay, so the all right, so you have the soul chain and you just put it on the table and it like sizzles into like his stone desk.
As like Garn is kind of handing this over, he's like, cousin, I have a confession to make. You know, maybe you're not, you don't know us, but you know, I started down the path of a war priest before you went missing. You know, I studied day and night the sacred texts, the mythologies. I studied curse breaking and healing the sick, but recently my power, my connection is gone. I can't even remember the incantations, the words to speak to break a curse. You are a man of the cloth. We thought to come to you. You can break it and I can help you, but I cannot do it alone.
And he starts going through a bunch of tomes, finding, you know, all the different Torag hymnals for various purposes and stuff like that. And pulls out just a massive book. It's like the size of your head. Just poof! And goes through, and there's all sorts of, you know, stories of, you know, heroism and protection and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And deep in there, there's a book, or there's a story, and there's like directions on like how they broke something like this. And so
You know, what's interesting here is that it appears that the Ford spurned it says it's under some sort of eternal damnation. This creature that you fought, it was kept that way, almost as if it suffered greatly at the hands of some evil god.
Yes,
and this was it. We might be doing good. This might not be just solving a problem here, but this might be releasing a soul from whatever horrible fate this was.
He's just like in awe of it. Just like, who knows how long the soul has been tortured doing this, and he's like, now we're about to like release it.
Well, it'll be up to the Lady of Graves to decide its ultimate fate. We only give it the chance for judgment.
Very well. I need to gather things. Please, if you don't mind.
And he looks out and he goes,
"Oh, is that Zamark out there?"
And he sees the guy that ran off.
Oh, yes. In all of our haste, we did forget to mention that amongst the prisoners and our freedmen, we came across the forlorn lover.
Oh. Well, that's even better. While I gather things, I want to give you this.
And he goes into his desk and he starts, like, rummaging around in the junk drawer.
We don't want your trash, Frost.
No, it's in here somewhere. Hold on.
I know I put this powerful, super rare artifact somewhere in this garbage heap.
Here's some scotch tape, some scissors.
Oh, there it is. There's a pen. Oh, no ink. Okay. He pulls out a tiny pink stone.
Oh.
Pink rhomboid.
Oh. Okay. It's a beautiful stone. I will treasure it forever.
It's a rock.
You should.
And he hands it out to each of you, and he goes, "Who wants to put it on first?"
Gotta do a check.
I
want to
know what it is.
All right, roll me a little arcana.
I will also do that.
Coop. 26.
38.
Wait, I have an inkling of what this may be. Can 25. I say it?
All right, so, yeah, Tim, I want you to guess.
Is it an Aeon Stone?
It is, in fact, an Aeon Stone.
Cool. No freaking way!
But Sandor tells you this, not me.
Yeah.
It is a pink rhomboid Aeon Stone.
Oh, my gosh.
When you level 12, by the way.
Yeah.
When you invest the stone, you gain... When you invest the stone...
Yeah, it's an invested item.
Yeah. You gain 15 temporary hit points.
Wow.
If the stone's effects are suppressed, you lose any of the temporary hit points remaining until it returns. The temporary hit points refresh during your daily preparations. They do not refresh if you reinvest the stone or invest another pink rhomboid Aeon Stone before them. So it's just a little 15 hit points.
Free HP.
I will take it.
Yeah, for real. Considering Luca is also front line.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How many is he offering?
Only one.
Yeah. All right.
Let me see this drawer. And he opens it, and a bunch of stuff falls out as if it was put in upside down. And he's like, "God damn it."
In turns.
It lets you cast Stabilize, too.
Yes, that was the other part. The resonant power allows you to cast Stabilize as a divine innate spell.
You said one for each of us, or just one?
Just one.
No, just one.
Just one.
Not having multiples. Get out of here. Get out of here.
He's like, "I just had these. I thought they were paperweights."
Man, it would have gone great in my new Wayfinder.
So, Sandor knows that these stones were... like thought to have been used to create the universe.
Yes, they are extremely old.
You just had a fucking infinity stone sitting in your desk.
just when I need it.
All right.
No, seriously, cousin, where did you get this? These are incredibly rare, and you're just handing it to us like it's a paperweight.
Torag be praised, you came at the right time, and I was not in need of it.
Well, I wouldn't
We'll take it. I'm not asking any more questions. But yeah, they're like, so like the original tools of like the creation of the universe were like bigger, so this is like kind of like a piece of it. So they're rare, like they, you know, they can, you can be fine. And they come in variations too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So like they could be like really beautiful, advanced, they could be flawed, cursed.
Yeah, the on the Aeon Stone like page, there's like a lot. There are the scroll bar I have is like so small on this page. But yeah, Aeon Stones, for those that don't know, an Aeon Stone is a little like stone that that orbits your cranium.
Mm-hmm.
And they add specific like specific abilities.
So
there's
sick.
Like Aeon Stones of sustenance, so that way you don't need to eat or sleep. There's all sorts of stuff. When I was looking through, there was one that I was like, Aeon Stone of Envisioning. This clear cube allows you to communicate with a limited form of telepathy to a range of 100 feet. It's just really neat stuff. But yeah, this one is just, like I said, it's pretty much like casting false life on yourself.
Yeah. I don't know if this is 1E parlance, but they're considered a wondrous item for those who are familiar with categorizations.
These
like,
are...
It almost feels suspicious that Preston has this.
I mean, they do get traded around, I mean, especially if you have money, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and with adventures that come through, you know, the there's a reason why, I remember, people come into the city to go treasure hunting in Sakharov.
Yeah, yeah.
So, why not, right?
It's awesome. Yeah. Really awesome.
But yeah.
All right, well, we still got a chain to deal with.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, so I was looking up specific magic weapons because I was trying to see like how exactly we would like handle that and stuff like that. So I went to the specific magic weapons section in the GM core. Apparently, these weapons have abilities far different from what can be gained by simply etching runes. A simple magic weapon lists its fundamental runes, which you can upgrade, add, or transfer as normal. You can't etch or transfer any property runes onto a specific weapon that it doesn't already have. So a specific magic weapon just has what it has, comma, and you can't remove its property runes.
Oh. Wait, what?
So, because this thing is, because the soul chain is pretty much, like, attached to the creature, it doesn't have, you wouldn't be able to get the +2 greater striking flaming. I guess he would have like
all the power comes from the curse, essentially.
Right.
Aww. It comes from the curse.
It's
however, remember, he still had the +2 striking adamantine warhammer that he just did not use.
Mm. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Have to settle with that, Tim.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of that. What was it? The hagstone or whatever.
Useful for 24 hours
and then it's gone. but the effects of it was pretty good. It was just only lasts so long because it was tied to the hag. I mean, itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or you had to be a hag to use it or something. Yeah.
So now here's the thing. I still think you would get adamantine out of it. And the reason being is because that's just the metal. You know what I mean? I still think you would get adamantine, and so maybe I'm being...
We'll take it.
Keep going on, my bad.
Say no more. Yeah, we'll melt it down.
Yep.
right. Because I'm like looking at that, and I'm like, well, it's not magic because of adamantine. Adamantine is just the metal. So Frasting gathers all of his things, and he gathers a few of his younger priests, and he gathers you guys. And they go out into the courtyard where there's like a big, like... they would do like funeral processions and stuff like that for Ntorag's name and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And they just lay this chain out very delicately, almost. Like Frasten, after like looking into this, realizes that like there's a soul to be saved here, mm-hmm. and he kind of starts like treating this as like a mission rather than like defusing a bomb, like you guys were thinking of it. And so he very gently lays this thing, and as he lays it down, you can see that it sizzles on his fingers, but he's not flinching at it at all. And he lays it down, and he coils it on this giant stone tablet, and he gathers each of you around, and he goes, you stand there. Okay, now, we'll all hold hands. And he begins reciting this incantation, and each one of you has to sort of say it in turn. So he says it, and then you repeat it, mm-hmm. That sort of thing. In Torag's name. Come on, everybody.
Oh, yes, sorry. I was dozing. In Torag's name.
In Torag's name.
I probably shouldn't be here.
Oh, come on, Sando, come back.
In Torag's name.
There it is. In Torag's name. We bring this soul to you.
We bring this soul to you.
Please, Torag, release it from its prison.
Release it from its prison.
Show it freedom and justice.
Show it freedom and justice.
In a way it has not known. In Torag's name, we pray.
In Torag's name, we pray.
Be free!
Be free!
Be free!
Be free.
I'm going to roll a d20.
Wow.
Guard, you have the sweatiest hands, I swear to God.
can we roll to aid, like, at least one of us?
Yes.
The one who has a master in religion and has been itching to roll a Black Oak Workshop because dice are treasure.
I see what you're saying, Tim, but this is you.
It's cracked eye. Come on, Black Oak. Let's roll flat now.
Tim rolls natural one. He just comes back immediately. Just
heard you talking shit.
16 on the die for a 38. Ooh. To aid.
Yeah. So there's the aid is the, oh just be a crit, right? So it'd be a +2.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. So that is a 42 total.
Hey.
You rolled good, Jake.
Yes, that was a 16 on the die. Hey. Obviously, he's a high level caster here. And so the all of you just see this chain just, and then the cinders that were sort of like and the embers that were coming off of it, you see them just start to just get wiped away with this like golden light that sort of washes over it. And then all you see is just some steam, and then it's oddly quiet.
Did it work?
Do you feel it?
The weight.
Coming?
The weight is lifted. The oppressive force that blanketed the energy of this weapon. It is completely... Null. It's just like a rock you could pick up.
Please, cousin. Use this. Use this in whatever this person's name was to keep anyone else from suffering such a fate. And he goes up and he wraps it around ceremoniously almost and hands the chain to you.
We will. It'll be reforged into a new purpose. One that will serve to break chains instead of enforce them, to free instead of oppress, to protect instead of to hurt. And I know just the man to reforge it. Kezra Derajan, bastion of good in this dark place, defender of the helpless. I have not known him long, but I know him to be a true warrior and of a gentle heart.
A true beacon of light.
I don't know him. Yeah.
Is the thing rid of that guy's pathetic soul yet? Can I melt it down?
Ah, there's their protector right now.
I just love the idea that Garn is an awful judge of character.
You'll make a nice shield, I think.
Oh. Yeah, so you guys have you have this chain.
Cool.
And like I said, remember, you do have that plus two striking adamantine warhammer.
Yeah.
So, are you using that straight up, or you want to transfer a rune?
Because I had the force rune on the Morningstar impactful.
Hold on. All right. Does the hammer just have the plus two?
Yeah. It's yeah.
It can hold striking. It can hold two fundamental runes then. So you can put your force on it and then something else.
Oh baby.
You can put your force and you can put fucking flaming or some shit on there.
Oh my gosh.
So think about that one.
Oh.
Yeah, and if you remember, Kelda Hallrig said, "Oh yeah, just come by and I'll give you a rune."
Mm.
Remember that, yeah.
Wait, didn't I get the impactful one, or did I pay for that one?
You paid for that one because you got it first and then completed the quest, and then you were like,
"I didn't have to pay for that."
Like, dang it.
Right.
Here you go. Now you're gonna use the coupon anyway.
What do you know what level it was up to?
What?
Is the rune that we get, the rune voucher.
rune voucher.
I'll have to look into that, but
yeah, you can tell me off air and I'll find a sweet rune to put on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my gosh, an adamantine weapon! Ah! Like, yeah, it's just almost like through anything.
Yeah, it's almost like they're souping you up for some horrible shit up ahead.
I didn't think about that.
Remember, for adamantine weapons, you treat any object as if it has half its usual hardness, unless the hardness is greater than that of the weapon.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, if you put... I mean, you might have, like, a level 13 weapon or something by the time you put two runes on it.
Yep.
Dang.
Yeah.
And we have like a ton of stuff to sell. Cause like one can use like any, like we have, cause I have an extra Dawn Silver shield. Like we had like a bunch of plus one like resilient breastplates and such. Mm-hmm. Like,
And you're keeping the full plate. They
did kill Kezra and bring in my next character.
Yeah. Yeah, we are keeping the full plate.
Yeah, you're keeping a full plate, so in case you retrain.
Or just next level, just take it.
Shit. You could just do that. Mm-hmm. Or if you die, you can reintroduce a new character that is heavy armor proficiency.
Heavy armor. Get a real war priest in here.
We'll call him...
instead of this poser.
We'll call him Sparn.
Sparn.
My brother, Sparn! My dying wish is you take this sweet, sweet loot.
He goes, "Oh, sorry, I was cooking and my hands are all greasy. Oh, no, it dropped in the forge."
Oh, no. Butterfingers.
I'm so sorry.
Now that my brother's dead, I wish you guys would just call me Garn, you know?
With how many times my characters have died, I think we made this exact joke like
five
times.
I'm sure we have.
Oh, yeah.
And it always makes me go, I should watch Beerfest again.
Yeah.
Well, it's either that or somehow Battlelor makes his appearance.
Oh my gosh. I'm waiting for the day to introduce Battlelor. He's in the back pocket.
I'm here for revenge.
Got him. what are you guys doing? You have, you have a lot of forging to do.
Yeah. So that we'll probably like do the full like drop off weapons to get runes transferred, new runes on, and then we'll rest up. And then there's like market stuff to do.
And we,
I feel like we want to talk to someone about this underground lair that we found.
Yeah.
This, you know, terrible pipeline. Like we need to get people there.
And we also
flush it out.
We know the location of. Where they are in the city, right? The rest of their organization.
Because they said that Ilsra, Embermean, is that what her name was? Ilsra was the her location that agent said that she was in the Temple of All Gods.
So we've officially confirmed that the Triad is in the city, first of all, and we know where they're where they're located right now.
Yeah. Now, mind you, the them being in the Temple of All Gods in Sagarok is kind of like, well, that sounds like that sounds like a death
sucks
wish,
for them.
You know, but like, mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, having said that, that does bring up the question of just like, how are they existing in Sagaran?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. We just cannot do that. Like we. It's almost like we have to go out on expeditions where we might die. So, like, how are they doing that?
There must be a day pass you can get somewhere.
It's called the fast pass, okay?
Like, we didn't even know where this tunnel goes. Like, this tunnel could just go right into the heart of
shortcut.
The Temple of All Gods.
It could just be a shortcut, because that's... I feel like we couldn't... We shouldn't just leave it as it is, either.
We need to chase down that lead of like that where that tunnel goes first.
Oh yeah, I think we should definitely. That's probably, at least logically, it sounds safer than trudging out into the city.
And if there's more Scarlet Triad, we can purge them, get them out of there. That way, there's less likely chance to go down to the Temple of All Gods and get ambushed by.
But I'm also like, who can we alert that we can trust that could like keep an eye on. Like this abandoned building, you know?
The chief? Like, or. It was the,
The cat.
Oh, the Hammer Song?
Yeah. Because, I mean. But he has his hands full.
But his guard was infiltrated. Like, we know that for a fact.
Right. And he has his hands full, too, with, the red beard guy. Can't remember his name right now.
But. Color Rune Chiselrock, yeah, because he had him arrested. So.
That's good.
Last time you guys saw. So
and the other aspect of this too is like we just brought in like 15 people, you know, like Frast and the priests know, like they're gonna talk. Like, oh yeah, we came from this and such. We were freed from this forge underground by that abandoned building. So like, it's not a matter of like if the information is getting out. We can't keep this quiet. It's a matter of. Who can we trust to act on this information in the right way to A, you know, start shutting down like their roots, but also like we don't want to send people to guard a building and then they just get killed.
Oh yeah, definitely. They would be massacred most likely.
Yeah. Maybe we should ask Frastin.
Yeah, ask Frastin because he might have an idea.
Yeah, direction.
So
maybe after we like all kind of calm down for this beautiful ceremony, maybe we're eating lunch or something together.
Lunch, dinner, brunch, whatever time it is.
I'm putting in a dwarf dash order. Do you want anything?
Oh fuck! I gotta pick up Chipotle.
Still haven't done it.
Cut to the Archmage lying dead of starvation.
every night you get one, and he's like every day he looks more emaciated, and he's just like, please,
just teleport.
If only I could teleport anywhere.
I just give me chips. Then.
Another thing we could do is Sandor could if we don't want to trust anybody, Sandor could just. Go down there and cast an alarm spell every day until we're ready to go. Because it can just send him an alert if anybody comes in there.
True. Could do that.
We got a wizard. We might as well just fucking use him.
Yeah, use the wizard.
We don't need guards or people. We're loners. Rebels.
I'm all for putting an alarm spell on it and utilizing, you know, our toolkit. Like the question still remains, like these people are going to talk, the city is going to start investigating, you know, like regardless of if we tell anyone, they will tell people. We can't keep all 15 quiet.
Let him handle it.
Yeah So we get our dwarf dash order. I don't know what Sandor is doing about it in full way, because that is a thread we have not pulled on.
just crab rangoon, honestly. Just
you put in your dwarf dash order, and Sandor, you get a notification on your orb.
Yep, nice.
We better make this meeting quick. That Taco Bell's gonna hit bottom soon.
I got a date with the toilet.
Wait, is it with or without diarrhea and lettuce?
Shit, bottom out quick.
All right, you go to talk to Frastin. So he has been talking to each of these people and just, like, you know, figuring out what's going on with them, what exactly they need. He's been assisting as much as possible. And as you're about to approach, one of his priests come over with a guard, and they kind of like whisper to him, and he's like, "Okay, I'll be right there. You handle this." And he goes into his room and he starts packing up a bag.
Frastin?
Yes.
Like a go bag?
Like a duffel bag in order to, like, he's putting tools.
Oh, okay.
And, like,
tools. Okay. Well, it's a duffel bag. He's like, get out of town.
He's like, you gotta leave.
What's with all those platinum pieces?
Well, it's certainly not not a no bag.
Uh-oh, they found the search history on my work computer.
Damn it.
I gotta go.
Guillotine.
Dude quits his job and leaves the city for over it. Investigate that man.
So he,
cousin,
he,
what is going on? You're in a hurry. You're frantic.
Apparently. Luckily, it's only a few blocks away, but unfortunately, it appears that the confrontation between two of the guild members turned fatal.
Oh, that's bad.
Oh! Yeah, I forgot about that.
Wait, say that again?
Confrontation. Kezrad, sorry, I didn't realize you were still here. A confrontation between two of the guild members under Hammersong and Chiselrock. There's been bouts here or there, but we mostly have been doing our best to keep it contained, keep everyone level-headed. But some people are not, and one turned fatal. So I am going to remedy that. And he puts a diamond in his bag.
Oh. That's one way of solving that problem. Here I thought you were going to act as like a coroner or something.
No. Luckily, we keep these around, but I pray to never use them. The trip to Pharasma's feet. Sometimes she can just deny these requests.
Oh, indeed.
Right.
Well aware. Not everyone comes back. Not everyone wants to come back either.
No. I'm hoping that's not the case with this.
I know your task is urgent, but the body is still warm. Can you give us a contact? Someone we can talk to about this place that we found? Information will get out. It's not a matter of if, it is a matter of when. And it is not a matter of if someone will get hurt, but when. We do not want another fatality on our hands. Like these people who operate in secret, they are dangerous beyond imagination. They have items of incredible power, a forge burned, a reforging shield, mythical objects. We cannot go lightly about this. Hammersong seemed to be our best course of action. We don't know what's going on with him anymore. Is there anyone else we can trust? Is he our best lead?
Well, Hammersong would usually be that man, but with him being tied up and with these things,
and he's still putting stuff into his bag to address that problem.
The Forge Master, Kelda Holrig, could certainly help. She might be able to even do something about sealing that.
That's a good option.
Yeah.
Her and I'll join a Tora Godness.
She was the one who told you to go check the wall.
Right.
They usually work together on things. Perhaps you could sit both of them down and explain the situation. But I am here to tell you.
And he pretty much confirms with you guys were thinking that, like, information is not going to stay here.
Yeah.
So...
I'm sure the council will meet on this. When they do, make sure we are present.
Yes. I need to go deal with this. Hopefully, Hammersong is dealing with his thing for now. But please, you've been through a lot. Please rest.
Don't need to tell me twice.
necessary sacrifice.
What? Were you sleeping on a pew?
I was trying. You were being very loud.
Sorry.
They are quite comfortable, aren't they, Sandor?
Not really.
It's hand-carved mahogany.
Just imagine they're just stone-shaped pews, so it's just rock.
But it's marble. Looks really nice.
Perfect contouring for dwarven butts.
It's perfect.
If only it wasn't so lumpy.
Yeah, not Garn's butt.
Also helps correct your posture as well. It's one of those that has like the curve in the back.
Yes.
So you guys, you just need to rest,
yeah.
Mostly because mm-hmm. I know you guys are tapped. Mm-hmm. So the morning comes, I think. Hmm. Yeah, because it was like nighttime that you guys did all this, and you see a shift of people come out, a shift of people go in. Whatever inn you're staying at, you hear some fighting downstairs. You may or may not have to step in for
one thing,
but nothing goes fatal. Okay.
One thing I want to point out is if we want to do this alarm thing, I'm gonna need to go get a scroll and inscribe it into my book. It's only a first level spell, so it's not gonna be a hard scroll to find, but I did not put that in my book.
Let's buy two. One that you can cast right away before we go to sleep, and then one you can put in your book.
Yeah, because they're affordable, I would assume.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's do that.
But I mean, you can't always just find scrolls. So let's just see if we can find what we need.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you can absolutely find one.
I'll just walk into my ex-boss's office and take one.
Four gold for a first level scroll.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, my God.
Put the money on the desk.
Yeah, just leave it there.
You put the money on the desk, you're like, Chipotle.
Take a copper, leave a copper.
I put the 8 gold on the desk, walk out, then come back, take 4 gold back, and walk away.
Now, John, you still have to make that DC 15 Arcana check to get that in your spell book.
Okay, hold on. Let me just see if I'll fail that. No, I won't.
With your plus 23 to Arcana.
Yeah, yeah. Literally, I just don't have to roll a 1. Okay, so if that's the... I just wanted to point that out. If we wanted mm-hmm. to do that, I had to just go do that first. I'm not saying we have to use the alarm spell, but I just needed to make sure that was known. I didn't want to just be like, oh yeah, I have that spell. Do-do-do-do-do.
Yep.
Yeah, we fully support 2 scrolls, 1 to cast, 1 to put in your book.
Yeah.
All right. Do you want to go put the ward on now?
Yeah, I can do that now if we want.
We all go together. We all go together.
No, let me do this alone.
And floods it with lava.
He was never seen again.
You all. You go back to put the ward on. Where are you putting it? You guys are looking at the map,
yeah.
Right? Where do you want to put the ward? Because I was kind of thinking about that when you were talking about it. I was like, I wonder where you could actually like put a ward. You know what I mean?
20-foot burst at the edge of the tunnel?
That'll just let us know if they're there, but they won't let us know if they went into the city, you know?
We could put it at the top of the entrance tier.
I mean, there's only one way in and one way up to the city, so I mean, if you put it at the tunnel...
Yeah. Like, was
that means
hidden
you know
doorway?
That somebody's gotten in here, which means they could come right up.
It's not guaranteed that they came up, though.
Yeah,
like, it depends.
If we don't, if we don't care if they're down here at all, then yeah, just put it in the stairwell.
Yeah, put it in the stairwell right around the statue, like not in that room. That way, we know, like, okay, they're coming up instead.
Should we buy 3? One that Mark can cast, 2 that Ambrose can cast?
Well, here's the thing. Like, they very well could just come back into this room, fortify this room, and just wait for people to come. Because they're going to figure out that their big guy's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, there's nothing stopping them from just trying to put an ambush in this room.
Right.
So,
What do you guys think?
But it seems overkill to put to have actually, you know, literally have two alarm spells. But at the on the other hand, it doesn't, because like we're getting into high level play, and we gotta play that 3D chess. I think we need two alarms: one for the tunnel so we know where they come in at all, and then one for the exit to see if they go into the city.
Yeah, I think that'd be good.
Okay.
All right.
So you go to put the one ward up at the top of the stairs, and another one puts one down at the bottom, at the tunnel entrance. As you were standing there and you're focusing on this ward at the tunnel entrance, you just feel there. If you're Sandor, let's assume that you're doing mm-hmm. that. There's something within you, and just your. I don't even know if you ever left the surface or ever breached the surface of Glare. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so there's just this innate sense that you have that whatever this tunnel is and how deep it goes, it feels like it goes just forever. Mm. It's like it's so creepily silent that it feels like it's just so distant from anything else. And there's there is just this uneasy feeling that something ahead of you is beyond cursed and beyond evil. And with that, I'll see you guys next week.
Let's go.
So ominous.
Let's go check
the tunnel. Secret tunnel.